Let's talk about work. As you know, the UAE is committed to happiness, putting it at the forefront of its government policy. We even have a Minister for Happiness. But as we live longer and our working life expands into potentially lasting 5 decades, how can we keep the joy in our lives? Well, one man who might have the answer is Andrew Scott. He is the author of a book called The 100-Year Life. It's a book on living and working in an age of longevity. Georgia caught up with him last week. And she began by asking him, if we're going to live longer, does it automatically mean that we have to work longer? Isn't that a bit of a depressing prospect? This is Professor Andrew Scott.
So one of the things we find interesting, particularly when we talk about the book to 40-year-olds, is they get very depressed when we say, you know what, every generation has been living longer than their parents. You've probably got another 10 years. And people kind of look terribly disappointed, which is a really weird response. And it's because they just think, gosh, I have to carry on working. So, you know, one of the things we talk about in the book is that life is broadly made up of three stages right now. You get your education at the beginning, you do your work in the middle, and then you retire. So you have a three-stage life. And the idea of raising that second stage just doesn't feel good. It just feels a hard slog. And that does fit in with the happiness literature that you were referring to earlier, because if you look at happiness measures, they tend to be fairly bad during that second stage, because you're really focusing on financial strength and not the things that really matter to you. Your friends, your family, your loved ones, the things that put a spring in your step, you're having to focus on money.
It's easy to say sort of focus on your friends and family, focus on, you know, the green grass and the beautiful landscape and love life in the universe. But the reality is that final salary pensions are now a thing of dreams. In your 40s, you do need to be focused on your finances, because, you know, potentially you've got school fees or cars to pay for, you know, savings for the future. That's sort of the deal. You need to crack on.
Absolutely. So one of the things we say is that with a greater longevity, one needs to think about how one restructures life. So, you know, we look at people in their 40s and 50s and say, you may well have to work into your early 70s. And so that's another 25 years away. So what are you going to do? You cannot carry on doing what you're currently doing for 25 years. Either technology may make it obsolete, either, you know, your fitness and health will go, or your relationships. And certainly you probably haven't got the skills to maintain your role in the labor market for 25 years. You need to take a very long, hard look at yourself for those remaining 25 years and say, how do I reinvent myself? How do I reinvest in skills? How do I take care of my relationships? Because I cannot carry on doing what I'm currently doing now for another 25 years.
Gosh, that's a bit scary. So I'm 37. My colleague Richard, he's 40-something, 44, something like that. So do we need to be sort of taking a long, hard look at each other across the desk and deciding how we're going to change our careers in 10 years' time?
Probably, yes, because either you'll get bored, or either someone will ask to get someone different, or either technology and you'll have robots broadcasting the morning show. But yeah, I think that's absolutely what we're talking about, because yeah, can you really carry on for the next 25 years doing what you're currently doing? Now, that may sound scary, because people who come through the three-stage life find change quite a scary prospect, because the idea is you get your education at 20, and that sees you through to 65. I think what we're going to have with this multi-stage life is people go through many different transitions. Now, it could well be that what you do is just upgrade your current skills and carry on doing what you're currently doing, but in a way that's protected from technological obsolescence or redundancy. It could be you become an entrepreneur and start up your own blogging radio system. But you have to think hard both about your finances and your skills and what we call your intangibles. So intangibles include your skills and knowledge, but also your friendships, but your ability to be good at change. Because when you live for longer, you have to be able to reinvent yourself more, and you will go through more periods of change. And being open-minded to that, and hopefully controlling it rather than having it thrust upon you, is critical.
So how about, as a business owner, how should you be dealing with the fact that potentially your employees are going to live for a lot longer?
Yeah, this is a really interesting thing, because, of course, we hear from businesses talking a lot about the millennials and how the millennials are just a different culture and a different breed. We put all that down to the millennials being not so much when they're born, but the first generation really wrestling with potentially a 100-year life. And so if you've got more time, options become far more important to you. So you invest in options. You don't make commitments so early. And also, I think if you're 18, you think you're probably going to have to work to your late 70s, possibly. There's no way you can have a 60-year career without going through lots of transitions, change and breaks. Which raises the question, well, what is it that makes this my life and my career? In a three-stage life where you do one thing, you say, I'm a professor or I'm a radio presenter. But our kids will probably go through many different jobs and many different professions. They're looking for a value that links all those stages together. So certainly understanding the different needs of different generations, I think, is crucial. But we feel that, you know, you're already beginning to see firms struggling a lot with this because you have a lot of people coming to retirement age saying, I don't want to retire yet, I want to carry on working. So having to work out policies on who to keep and who not to, and being transparent what the criteria are, is really important. We talked earlier about sort of people in their 40s and 50s perhaps wanting more flexible work patterns so they can invest in courses or invest in fitness or do a four-day week rather than a five-day week. All of those demands are rising in time and possibly even taking mid-career breaks. So we do think it's going to get very complicated for businesses. A lot of businesses are completely unaware of this trend and they're basically trying to stick to the old HR policies, which is the three-stage life. You come in at 20, you have a lifetime career. And what we say is in that world, age is stage. If you're 20, I kind of know where you are in life. If you're 40, I know where you are in life. If you think people will be working from 18 to potentially mid-70s, then you could be 30, 50, or even 70 and be a senior manager. You could be 20, 40, or 60 and be an undergraduate. Age and stage are going to get really mixed up in a way that's going to be really quite complicated for firms to deal with.
Living longer also means more time for your own personal life, I suppose. How would you advise staying happy outside the workplace?
One of the things we found quite interesting, a history of leisure, fascinating topic, the history of leisure. And really, you know, during the Industrial Revolution, we developed a leisure industry that was aimed for refreshing people. You know, you're exhausted from the week, so let's create a weekend where you can recover physically and mentally. And so we developed a whole bunch of, you know, sporting industries, entertainment industries that we call recreation. We think that in a world where you're probably going to have to go through many careers over a 40-year, 50-year time period, leisure may become less about recreation and more what we say is recreation. So leisure less as a consumption activity where I just sit and enjoy watching the football or the film, but more actually invest in my own skills and my own fitness. So whether it be going to the gym, whether it be investing in relationships or investing in learning a new programming language so you don't become irrelevant at work, we think that leisure is going to be a lot more about rebuilding and recreating yourself rather than just refreshing.
That's the thoughts of Professor Andrew Scott talking with Georgia Tolley a few days ago. His new book is The 100-Year Life.